As a nation, what do we need most at this time? Testing kits? Ventilators? A flattening of the curve? More delivery slots? Higher broadband speeds? An economic stimulus? Patience? Freedom from boredom? The chance to go outside, perhaps? Constantly on our phones, receiving information overload, often from unhelpful sources. Everyone has an opinion, don't they? What do we need most at this time? How about someone in charge over us who really knows what we need? No, that wasn't a swipe at our government. But it was an invitation to think about who is really in charge, who is really sitting on the throne, who really knows what we need. Today is Palm Sunday. Easy to forget where Jesus enters Jerusalem, the city of the great king, at the start of this week of all weeks, culminating in his trial and crucifixion, and then, of course, his glorious resurrection from the dead. And what Matthew, our writer, has been leading up to all this time is Jesus' declaration of his kingship over Israel as the promised Messiah, yes, but his kingship too over you and I, the one who rules over your life, over your fears, over your anxieties, over a coronavirus. Jesus is the king. In this current crisis, do you recognize that? Do you live under him? Or have current circumstances meant we're effectively dethroning him, as if he could be dethroned? Jesus has been traveling with his disciples down from Galilee, through Judea, Jericho, and now they arrive at Bethphage by the Mount of Olives, a mile east of Jerusalem. And in a meticulously planned act, maybe something in the mind of God since before time began, Jesus sends two disciples, I wonder who, into the village and instructs them to borrow a donkey and her baby. Matthew's gospel has two animals, and Jesus gives them an excuse in case anyone asks. Verse 6 of our passage. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on them. Now, what's going on here? Matthew takes the liberty of spelling it out for his Jewish audience, quoting from the Old Testament book of Zechariah, verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus is deliberately and explicitly declaring his kingship over Israel, yes, but the Zechariah 9 reference goes on to say that Zion's king, Israel's king, will bring peace as ruler of all nations, from sea to sea. Peace in the manner through which he comes, and peace in what he's come to do. And that's the first thing that we need to hear at this time. Jesus is the king who brings peace. That's something that we desperately need at this time. Peace. But what sort of peace? Normally, military rulers return victorious from battle in golden chariots amidst noise and fanfare. But here, Jesus the king enters Jerusalem in fulfillment of prophecy, riding on a colt, a baby donkey, with cloaks for a saddle and the colt's mother following to calm her baby. Imagine you're in Jerusalem in the crowd on that day. What would you make of all this? A king? Israel's promised Messiah? Okay, but why the low-key, almost farcical entrance? Perhaps it was only after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection that it fully dawned on some of the crowds, and indeed the disciples, that this gentle, humble king had come to bring peace through a victory, yes, but a victory that involved being nailed to a cross. Jesus the King who brings peace. Look in your own heart and the ups and the downs you've probably experienced in the last week. Is there peace there? That is there peace with God? Shalom, wholeness, fullness, because your sin, that which cuts you off from God, has been dealt with by the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the gentle King, comes to offer you peace in your life now, dying instead of you. Do you know that he is your King? Do you have that peace? Maybe at some point in the last week, with everyone at home, you've said to yourself, just wanting some space perhaps, give me some peace. Jesus came to bring a different sort of peace. Peace with God. Or from peace in our hearts to peace in God's world. Every TV channel, every time we tap our phone, switch on the radio, we are not hearing of peace, are we? We're hearing of fear, of panic, of defiance, of defeat. But even as we look beyond this current coronavirus pandemic, we realize still this world exudes the signs of being broken, being messed up, being corrupted by sin. But we recognize too that King Jesus will come again to complete the fulfillment of Zechariah 9, bringing peace to all nations as he rules from sea to sea. That reign began when he rose from the dead. Now, that is not to say we'll escape from this world and our souls will fly off to heaven. But in picture language, it's saying that God will renew this earth when heaven and earth meet. And we will reign in our resurrected bodies with Christ. No more viruses, no more pain, no more death. Just perfect joy, perfect peace on this renewed earth. Peace at last. That's God's plan, his ultimate plan for God's world. So first, Jesus the King brings perfect peace. But second, Jesus the King brings salvation, verses 8 to 11. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Put yourself in the sandals of someone in the crowd that day. Down Jesus comes from the Mount of Olives. Hundreds are pushing and pressing to get a view, and some are removing their cloaks and spreading them on the road. A clear sign once more that this is Israel's king, the same way that King Jehu was welcomed 800 years earlier. Meanwhile, some are covering the road in palm branches cut from trees, a signal back to the Jewish nationalism and the victory of Judas Maccabeus 200 years earlier. Clearly, the connection is being made. This is our sovereign. So they swarm in front, and those behind shout phrases from Psalm 118, a Passover psalm filled with messianic hope. Son of David, Israel's Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, Israel's God. Hosanna, that means save us now. There's a lot of shouting in Matthew's gospel. That's a very Jewish way of recognizing who is in authority over you. I remember 15 years ago seeing the crowds outside Canterbury Cathedral when the Queen came to visit, not on a donkey, but in a Bentley. And I remember thinking about the particularly British way she was being welcomed. Not shouting, just stiff upper lip applause and some waves. Although I was particularly proud when her driver took her through the back entrance where I was waiting away from the hordes and she waved at me, not the other way round. Probably thought it rude that I didn't wave back. How are you supposed to welcome your sovereign? In Matthew, the crowds in Jerusalem are shouting because they recognize that this is the long-awaited king who has come to save his people. He has come to bring salvation. But again, what sort of salvation? The crowds seem to be not so clear on that one. National liberation? The overthrow of the Romans? Military conquest? When the whole city asks, who is this? The crowds answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Not necessarily the prophet, the end-time prophet that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy 18, but rather that prophet who's been creating a stir up in Galilee. Yes, there's something special about this man, they think. We'd quite like him to be our king and save us from the Romans. But is that the kind of saving that he's come to do? The crowd then, the crowd now. Do you recognize Jesus as your king? And even if you do, is he king on his terms or king on your terms? King on your terms, king on our terms, means he'll sort out this virus at a time of our choosing and he'll get us back to life as we want it, when we want it. But Jesus has undertaken a very different kind of triumphal entry than what was expected. The crowds cry Hosanna now, but a week later it's possible that some of them may have cried Crucify. But Jesus comes not to triumph over the Romans. He comes not to triumph primarily over infectious viruses, though that will happen in the new creation. But he comes to triumph more generally over the enemies of sin and death, bringing salvation through sacrifice on a cross a week later, rising again to defeat all evil. That's the kind of salvation Jesus came to bring. Not national liberation, and not for us today, primarily salvation from self-isolation or from boredom or salvation from being cooped up at home. To truly say to Jesus, Hosanna, save us now, means Jesus, save me from my sin, the one thing stopping me from knowing you. It means Jesus, in my life, be the king, be the ruler over my heart, be the one who brings true salvation on your terms, not on mine. Friends, this is a strange time of our lives, a unique time, a different time, but a time that God, in his wisdom, has ordained. And we know that it's these sorts of times, stuck at home, having to choose how we spend our days, it's these times that build character, more so than receiving life-changing news, which tends to show our character rather than build it. But in these character-building times, do we look to the Prince of Peace for his perfect peace? Do we look to the Messiah King who, through his resurrection, has defeated not just pain and viruses, but sin and death itself? Years ago, Amy Carmichael said this: "I think one of the devil's favourite devices is to try to make us dwell on the hardness of things in general, and to make us feel as if they would always go on like this. But they will not. They are shadows that pass." Friends, this shadow of the current time will pass. So let's not despair. Let's rest in God's peace. Let's rest in his salvation, responding in faith, knowing that Jesus is King and he's working everything out for our good and for his glory. A moment to stop and to pray and to entrust God with all that we're thinking, all that we're feeling.